This was not to be the end of the Alka story. For as hearts began to mend, minds began to work on how the Alka project would continue. The five men had laid the groundwork, and now others were to build upon it. As for the five women, Marge Saint with Philip, Kathy, and Stevie remained in Chalmetta for 5 months and then joined the staff in Quito at radio station HCJB. The children maintained a beautiful testimony throughout. Listen to how Steve Saint expressed it.
How old are you, Steve?
7 years old.
Before you lived in Quito, where did you live, Stevie?
In Chalmetta.
And why did you move from Chalmetta?
Because my daddy died.
How do you think that your dad is enjoying heaven, Stevie?
I think it's okay.
Now, if you had an opportunity, would you want him back here? Would you wish him back?
A little bit.
Why do you say a little bit?
Because I think he's enjoying it up there.
I'm sure he is. It'd be sort of hard, wouldn't it, to take him away from heaven?
Uh-huh.
How did he die?
By the Alka Indians.
Now, if the Alka Indians were the ones that killed your father, do you love the Alka, Stevie?
Yes.
Well, why do you like them? How can you love them?
Because they're God's people also.
I see. Do you really think that someday they'll come to know Jesus as their Savior?
Yeah.
What do you do about it? Do you just think about this, or do you do something?
Oh, we pray.
How often do you pray?
Oh, every day at least.
How about the future, Stevie? You know, what do you want to do when you're big and all that?
I want to be whatever the Lord wants me to be.
That's a good answer. Would you like to be a pilot like your father was?
Uh-huh, I guess so.
And if you are a pilot, where would you want to fly?
Oh, I was going to take my daddy's place unless anybody gets there first.
You thought you'd like to take your daddy's place unless somebody else gets there first. I think that's marvelous. I think everybody would love to pray toward that end that you, Stevie Saint, would be a pilot and help out among the Alka Indians just like your father did. Thanks so much, Stevie, and we'll all be praying for you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Barbara Udarian with Beth and Jerry went back to their mission station at Makuma. Betty Elliott with Valerie returned to Shandia. Mary Lou McCulley went to the United States with Steve and Mike. And a few months later, Matthew was born. She returned to Quito to provide a mission home for children going to school whose parents are missionaries in the jungle. Olive Fleming, the only widow without children, the youngest of the five, returned to the United States to be with her family in Seattle, Washington. On February 16th, 1956, the Ecuadorian government presented to Abe Vanderpoy, field director for the Voice of the Andes and president of Ecuador's Intermission Fellowship, the National Medal of Merit in the Order of Commander. As the president's citation indicates, this service of the five men was carried out without fear of the dangers and inconveniences which surrounded the task, in the true Christian spirit that motivates missionaries who have come from their distant countries to Ecuador's jungle areas far from civilization and the Christian faith. We listen now to Abe Vanderpoy as he receives this medal in behalf of the five fellows and Ecuadorian missions.
Although I feel very unworthy of receiving this decoration in the name of the gospel missions working in Ecuador, with all my heart, I wish to express our appreciation and our gratitude to the President of the Republic, to the ministers of the cabinet, and to all of the Ecuadorian people. We are very happy for the fact that three of the widows are here present with us for this ceremony. They also have expressed their gratitude for the decoration granted to the gospel missions by the supreme government. Once again, with all my heart, personally, and in the name of the gospel missions working in this country, I wish to express our gratitude to the government of Ecuador and to all of its citizens. Thank you very much.
By summer of 1956, the world was still hearing about the Alcas story through newspaper articles, and in August of 1956, a detailed summary of the incident appeared in the Reader's Digest, written by Abe Vanderpoy. This was followed in the spring of 1957 by the publishing of the book Through Gates of Splendor, written by Betty Elliott, one of the five wives. It immediately became a bestseller, even with its solemn theme of consecration to the will of God for five young men. In answer to prayer, two Alca women came out of the tribe to make contact with the missionaries. Listen as Hobie Lawrence tells of this event. Mr. Lawrence is the Missionary Aviation Fellowship pilot who took Nate Saint's place in Ecuador. This recording was made November 13th, 1957.
Then, last week, Wednesday, November 13th, three Alca women appeared out of the jungle, wading across the Cudahy River, just below this little village of Oglan. As they crossed the river, they shouted. The Quechuas there at Oglan, realizing that the missionaries were very anxiously waiting a contact, immediately sent word over to Atahuno. And in God's providence, Betty Elliott was present at Atahuno. She packed up and immediately started out over the trail, returning with these Indians, 6 hours later reaching Oglan, where she met the Alca women. One of the women, one of the three, the youngest one, had already returned back into the jungle, apparently going back home. Dr. Tidmarsh at the time was in Quito purchasing supplies. He was quickly notified, was flown down to the jungle in the MAF plane, and arrived at the scene the following day. Then yesterday morning, having had no direct contact yet with Betty Elliott, we rigged up the bucket drop telephone system that Nate Saint, one of the martyred missionaries, the pilot of MAF, had devised. A telephone line, a quarter of a mile long with a telephone at each end of it, was let out from the plane on a reel, and by circling over the village, were able to make that telephone come right down into the midst of the village there and to land on the little beach on the Cudahy River there. Betty Elliott rushed out, picked up the telephone, and began to talk. Betty Elliott was, of course, bubbling over with enthusiasm, praise to God, and the joy in her heart, and she told us all about it, and also gave us a list of the supplies, the things that she needed. Then we flew back to Atahuno. In the meantime, Dr. Tidmarsh had just arrived at Atahuno, and we spent most of the rest of the day talking with him, getting more information, and making plans. And then a flight was made back over to Oglan again, dropping supplies for Betty Elliott and some of the things that she needed. Surprisingly, and something for which we were very grateful, was the fact that the Quechua Indians there very graciously received these Alca women, because many times the Quechuas respond by shooting at the Alcas if they see them. But they received them very graciously, especially two of the older Quechua women received these women with motherly care, attending to any needs they might have, and even giving them dresses to put on, because, of course, the women had no clothes on when they arrived. A significant fact is that one of these women appears to be the older of the two women who had appeared on the beach back in January of 1956 with the five fellows. The younger one who had returned back into the jungle, the description that the Quechua Indians gave of her would make it appear that she very likely is Delilah, as the fellows had called the young girl who had also appeared there on the beach. Right now, Dr. Tidmarsh and Betty Elliott are in Oglan, working with these women, obtaining all the linguistic material they can, and progress is being made. One encouraging thing is that they're finding that these simple sentences that Dr. Tidmarsh speaks to them, a part of those, at least, are being understood, and they're able to get some facts from the Indians, and it appears that these women are endeavoring to explain to Dr. Tidmarsh and to Betty what happened with the five fellows. Right now, we're going to play a portion of that tape so that you can hear what the Aucas sound like. Aucas just come out from their village last week.
I'm a poco cool. I'm a poco cool. Don't any papa wait.
Mama.
Appa. I will know appa.
Appa, mama.
Tommy and Aloka. I'm not even pinimui.
My bad. Then my name, Anna.
I should have mentioned that first that was Dr. Tidmarsh speaking and not an Alka, and then the latter was the Alka woman responding. That was strange talk, wasn't it? One thing that was noticed, too, was that the woman first wanted to eat the microphone, thinking perhaps it was food. And she also seemed to think that they wanted her to sing or to chant. She was always attempting to chant. We're going to play you a short portion of one of those chants now.
Mary Lou McCulley is right here with us in the studio. And we've been talking with her and getting some of her heart throbs. I've asked her to come and just give a little overflow from her heart to you friends out there in Radio Land tonight. Mary Lou?
Just tonight I was reading Psalms 42:11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Since hearing this thrilling news, my soul, which in the past 2 years has often been cast down and disquieted, has been praising God and singing. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. We have believed by faith that God's ways are above our ways. By faith we've even believed that as for God, his way is perfect, although they've been past understanding. But now we are seeing these truths. We are witnessing that God's ways are above our ways. We are seeing that his way is perfect, and we declare that he doeth all things well.
This is Barbara Udarian. Bethy, Jerry, and I have been stationed at Makuma for the past 8 months. It has been a joy to be with these Hebrew Indians during this past Christmas season. 8 of these jungle folks made professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a joy to receive our almost weekly carbon letter headed, Dearest Four, as Betty Elliott keeps us posted on her progress with the two Aucas women. 2 years ago, we were confident that the Lord was leading our husbands into Auca work. Tonight, I am as confident that the Lord is still leading, yearning that those Aucas too might enter the fold. Yes, there is real joy in serving our Lord.
Another link in the Auca story was the conversion and baptism of Dayuma. This occurred in Wheaton, Illinois, during the summer of 1958. Dayuma, as you remember, is an Alka Indian woman who has been serving as an informant for Rachel Saint, sister of Nate Saint. You will hear the voices of Dr. V.R. Edmond speaking English and Rachel Saint translating this into Alka for Dayuma.
How fitting that here from whence went three of our martyred missionaries, that the first fruits from the Aucas should testify for Christ by baptism.
Inyumo miago aruki, honginya, wang honginyanti kyaka, warani ayatumenginyanti tananani wanga, nyua aruki warani. Wini wangoling yanti puning yumo pungandapa boto arabainga apani gikimon.
We are taught that we are to be buried with him in baptism, And thus to be raised in newness of life. We're having the three languages then. Dayuma, hast thou received the Lord Jesus Christ as thy Savior? Dayumita, has recibido a nuestro Señor Jesucristo cual Salvador tuyo?
Dayuma bito nyo wengongin anti tayo wa mimo poninia.
And on this, your confession of faith, y por tu confesión de fe en nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
Yo habito arbaña apanitimimba, arbaña kiakimuimba.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yo te bautizo en el nombre del Padre, y del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo.
Boto biti miti apani giki muimbo, y tote imonga, tominga mambo, wengongi ono woka.
Amen.
Ingi.
This is Mary Lou McCulley continuing the Alka story for you today. During the summer of 1958, Rachel Saint, Wycliffe translator, and Dayuma, the Alka girl, returned from the United States to Ecuador. In the jungles, Dayuma had a reunion with the two Alka women. And then on the eventful day of September 3rd, 1958, Dayuma, with the two Alka women, went back to their tribe of Alkas. This was a great day for all of us connected with the Alka story. Listen as Abe Vanderpoy of radio station HCJB tells about this event.
A little more than 3 weeks ago, Dayuma, the Alka woman who escaped from the tribe many years ago and with whom Rachel Saint of the Wycliffe Bible Translators has been working linguistically for some years, along with Mintaka and Mankamu, who came out from the tribe at the end of last year and who have been with Betty Elliott since that time, voluntarily went back to the Alka settlement in an effort to establish friendly relationships with the Alkas and open the door for the entrance of the missionaries. This step required great courage on the part of the three women. If the tribe would receive them in a friendly way, fine. But if the tribe were angry with them, the savages certainly would not hesitate to kill them. Dayuma especially faced a big question mark.
She had been away from the tribe for many years. Much prayer has gone up here in Ecuador for these women as they returned to the tribe. And a few days after they left Arahuno to go to the Alca settlement, the Missionary Aviation Fellowship plane flew over the village, but saw no sign of the three women. Some days later, another flight was made. Still no sign of Dayuma, Mintaka, and Mankamu. When more days passed without any news from them, quite a few of the missionaries began to feel that the women had been slain by the Alcas. Then on Thursday, the happy surprise came. With Dayuma in the lead singing Jesus Loves Me, and followed by Mintaka and Mankamu, four other Alca women and three boys arrived in Arahuno. And with their arrival came the news that the tribe had received them in a friendly and cordial manner. This is a mighty answer to prayer, and the most significant breakthrough up until this time in the Alca project.
But even a greater day was in store for all of us, and that was September 25th, 1958, when Dayuma and the two women plus seven others came out of the Alca tribe and appeared in Arahuno, where Betty Elliott and Rachel Saint were staying and where Marge Saint happened to be visiting. Listen as Marge Saint tells us about this.
Soon after Dr. Tidmarsh returned to Arahuno, he and his wife decided that they must come out to Quito for dental work, but they did not wish to leave Betty and her little daughter alone with the Indians, and so they sent a radio message to Quito asking if I would go to the jungles to be with her. I went. And as the airplane rolled to a stop, I said, wouldn't it be wonderful to see three Alca women coming down the airstrip? Little did I know that in less than 42 hours, I would have that very experience. It was Thursday morning, September the 25th. Betty was hanging out clothes, Valerie was playing, and I was typing a letter to Nate's and my parents, telling them of a Quechua wedding we had attended the day before. Suddenly I heard Betty calling, guess what? The women have returned. A Quechua Indian from the Curaray had come to bring us the news. Good morning, Betty greeted him. Why have you come? For nothing, he replied. Didn't you even bring us any news about the Alcas? Oh, yes, they've come, and they brought others with them. They have stopped down at the Nushino River to wash themselves and asked me to come ahead to tell you. Betty, Valerie, and I changed our shoes immediately and set out to meet them. We hadn't gone far when we heard someone singing in English with an Alca accent, Jesus Loves Me. It was Dayuma, followed by Eminem and seven others. One of the others was one of George's wives. George is the Alca man, as you know, who was on the beach with the five fellows. His wife had brought her baby, George's son. We learned later that at the time George was killed, less than 2 years ago, she followed tribal custom and strangled her baby daughter with a vine and buried her with her father. For the next 2 days, Betty poured questions to Dayuma. We learned that they hadn't been seen from the plane because they were so tired that they had stopped at a place a few hours' walk short of the Alca houses and had sent Mankamu on ahead, perhaps to throw in the proverbial hat. It was she that Betty had seen from the plane. Dayuma saw her mother once again after 12 years. The Alcas told her that they would like Betty and Rachel to come in and live, that they never knew anyone truly wanted to be their friends. One day, Dabu, one of the Alca men, told Dayuma that he cried when he heard that some had killed the five foreigners. He said he waited a while, and then he went to the beach and felled a tree so that no more foreigners could come in and be killed. Betty asked, did Eminem tell their people that the foreigners do not eat others? Yes, they said. What in the world do you think they would want to eat anyone for? They think that you are the people eaters. Were these seven new ones afraid to come with you, Betty asked? No, Dayuma said. They came out shouting with glee. Did the Alcas understand the gestures that the men used to make from the airplane? Yes, they understood, and they followed the airplane as far as the Curaray, but they said, it goes still farther away. It goes way beyond where the hills look blue. We'll never be able to reach there, and so they turned around and went home again. Dayuma told how all the Alcas came to see her and brought her food. She said, I began to teach them right away. When I spoke thus, two of them cried. The next day, one woman came to me again, Dayuma told us, and said, Tell me more about your God. Once again, I'd like to repeat that which we said in the beginning. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.